As your pastor, I have four things which lay heavy on my heart. I study, read the Word of God, and seek these things to say to you. These are four things that I strive to do and pray that God will allow me to do. The first thing is this, and this is foremost, is to be faithful to the stewardship of this pastorate. I want to be faithful to that. Not all men are called to be pastors. Not all men are called to be preachers. But those who are given a stewardship and are held accountable. He said, obey them which have the rule over you. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account. There's a day coming I have to give an account for the souls who sit under my voice and the things that I've said to them. And I don't want to bring shame or reproach on my Lord by disgracing the ministry or bringing some undue contempt due to my behavior, my attitude, or my preaching. I want to be true to that. True to that. And then secondly, I want to be faithful to your souls. I recognize that those of you who come in this place have an eternal soul. You have a soul. And I don't know if you know it or not, but the destiny of that soul depends on your hearing. Did you know that? Well, you say, God has predestinated me. Yes, but He's chosen men through means. And one of those means is hearing. Hearing. They hear. They're taught. That's what it says in the Scripture, isn't it? They shall all be taught of God. There's nobody coming to Christ who isn't taught. They don't just wander in there aimlessly. They hear from God and they're taught. And I want to be faithful to your souls and the souls of those who hear me wherever they are. Preaching to me is not some cold, calculated duty I perform with total indifference to those. You're not just numbers to me. You know, I go past churches and I see all the time, 12. We had 12 souls saved. Well, don't put 12 up there. Put their names up there if they've really been saved of God. Put their names up. You're not just numbers to me. You know, folks ask me, I don't know, where do you preach? And I tell them, well, how many people you got? Well, I don't know. I don't count them. I don't count them. But I can close my eyes and see your faces. And when I'm in my study and calling your name out before God, I see your faces. I recognize you as people, as individuals, who all have souls. And I know your names and I know your children. And I care about your welfare and your health and your spiritual standing and your eternal destiny before God. I might not always say what you want to hear. Usually I don't. I might not always say what you want to hear. And I may not always send you away from here smiling. But what I do say, I say to be faithful to your soul. I know what kind of reaction it will provoke. I know that. It's not my first time. I've been doing this for a while. But I say what I believe in my heart you need to hear. You know how hard that is? Huh? Do you really know how hard that is to do? To say what you need to hear? Don't you expect the last thing the prophet wanted to do was stick his finger in the face of David and say, thou art the man? Huh? It's not easy to tell men what's best for them. It's not easy. And then thirdly, I want to be faithful to the Word of God. I've got no denominational ties. I don't believe in them. I don't believe the Scriptures teach them. And I can't find a single example of them anywhere between the covers of this book. If I did, we'd have a denomination, but I don't. I don't see that at all. I see individual churches with individual pastors, and Christ is their head. He walks among the candlesticks. And the stars, he holds the stars in his hand. And I don't answer to committees, deacons' boards. I have nobody to impress. I have the Word of God as my guide. If what I say is not according to the Word of God, don't have it. Don't take it. That's my guide. He tells Timothy in this very book right here, in his second letter, he tells Timothy that all Scripture, he tells him to preach the Word. Now, he said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine. The Scripture. Nothing else is profitable for doctrine. The preaching of the Scripture, the preaching of the Word of God. I've got no risk. I see these men on TV shaking that Bible all around. They carry it, but they don't read it. And when they do, it's just a portion. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. And when I prepare God's message to you, I don't dwell on whether or not this is going to offend you. I don't dwell on whether or not this is going to clash what somebody in my congregation may believe. I don't sit around and wonder, boy, this is going to run contrary to him. If I did that, I couldn't say nothing. I might as well just get up here and read Little Bo Peep or something. I have to preach the Word of God, and I have to preach it from my heart in sincerity and in understanding of what it says. And I have to stand right there. I stand there. I can't even consider it. And if the Word of God be not the foundation and basis of all that we preach, then we're no different from this deceived religious world. We can preach opinions and preach feelings and preach all these type of things, and everybody has an opinion. So what's the point in that? We got to have a basis. We have to have a foundation for what we say. I can't look to denominations. Where do I look? I look to the Word of God. Look to the Word of God. And then fourthly, I want to be faithful to the gospel of Christ. Now this gospel is a person. William, you remember asking me that question? What is the gospel? I said, the gospel is not a what, it's a who. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a person. Now, you can forget preaching anything in this Bible effectually to anyone unless you preach it in its connection to Christ. Well, you go over there, all that man preaches. That's what a woman told Scott one time. She threw her hands up. She said, Christ, Christ, Christ. She said, that's all you ever preach. He said, well, you put that on my tombstone. Just write that on my tombstone. There's nothing else to preach. There's nothing else to preach. He's the truth. Isn't that what he said? I am the way, the truth. Would you know the truth? Study him. Would you know the way? How am I to know the way? This man said, here's the way. This man said, here's the way. How am I to know the way? He is the way. Lord, we don't know the way. We don't know the Father. We don't know where you're going. He said, I am the way. God hath made him to be unto us wisdom. Would you have wisdom? God hath made him to be unto us wisdom. Righteousness. Do you thirst for righteousness? God hath made him to be unto us righteousness. And here's one. Boy, this turns people upside down. Sanctification. Huh? God hath made him to be unto us sanctification. Huh? And redemption. But what about other things? What about the church? Aren't we to preach and describe things about the church? What the church is and the order of the church and the authority in the church? Aren't we to preach about these things? The ordinances? Should we just forget them, throw them out the door? Godliness? Am I to ignore those things or giving? Am I never to say anything at all about men giving when there's so much in the Scriptures about it? Am I just to ignore that? Or serving the Lord? What about that? Do we talk about that, serving the Lord? What about the family? Have I got nothing to say about the family? Well, of course. Of course. I'm not to ignore these things, and I don't ignore these things. We deal with these things. I have two verse-by-verse studies, one on Wednesday night and one on Sunday morning. And we deal with those things verse-by-verse. I went all the way through the book of Ephesians, talked about the husbands and the wives and our duties to our employers and all of those things. We deal with those things. But I don't deal with them apart from Christ. To reform a man and train him how to live apart from Christ is simply to make a proselyte of religion. That's what the Jews did. They brought men in conformity with their ideas of the law and of their ideas of morality and all of these things according to the law. And they brought them in, and the Lord said, you compass sea and earth to make one proselyte like unto yourself. And when you made him twofold more the child of hell than you are. You reveal both yourself to be a false prophet, and you made him one. You made him one. Saved men and women are taught of God, and all those taught of God are brought by the Father to the Son. Did you hear me? Every man taught of God is brought first to the Son. Listen to this. John 6, verse 45. The Jews were... they were angry at him. They didn't understand his speech. They didn't understand what he was talking about. Listen to what he said in verse 45, John chapter 6. He said, it's written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, does what? Cometh unto me. That's where he learned. That's where he learned of the Father. And that's where he learned from the Father. You learn it in Christ. And this is where we go. Paul said, I've determined to know nothing among you. Nothing. Save Jesus Christ and him crucified. What did Paul say? He didn't preach on the church? Well, absolutely preached on the church. How did he preach it? Christ and him crucified. That's right. Where would be the prophet in a church with no head, no king, no priest? Huh? What kind of church would that be? That'd be like a wife with no husband, wouldn't it? Huh? Be talking about a marriage, but no husband. What kind of marriage would that be? No one to teach her and care for her and see to her needs and protect her and love her. Take Christ's preeminence out of the church, and all you have left is a cold, ignorant, indifferent organization that represents itself and its own glory. I challenge you, just listen to the preaching. Listen to what they're saying. What about the ordinances? Take the wisdom and glory of Christ out of the ordinances and what's left? Just a meaningless ceremony that doesn't have anything to confess or remember. What of godliness? What do we know about godlikeness? How much you know? But can you learn that looking at the law? Thou shalt not steal. That tell you something about the righteousness of God? I can't understand what that means. They said, wherein have we robbed thee? We didn't rob God. We didn't steal from God. Wherein have we robbed thee? He said, you robbed me of my glory. Huh? We don't know anything at all about God-likeness. I tell you who God-likeness, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You want to know what God is in man. In man. Godliness. God-likeness. There it is. He is the express image of God. How should I act? There it is. Study him. Study him. And then what about giving? Don't we need to set some kind of a standard, a percentage, something to guarantee results? No, sir, Christ is the standard. If you need a standard, he gave all. Huh? We don't want that standard, do we? He gave everything. He gave his time. He gave his body. He gave his energy. He gave up his family. What all did he give? He gave all. He had nowhere to lay his head. He gave himself, his time, his money, his body, his family, his freedom, his back, and his blood. Here's the standard. Give what you can. Huh? Give what you can. And then what about service? The Bible said reasonable service. What's that mean? Reasonable service. Well, our service to Him can be learned best in Christ. And here's what I gather from all this. I mean, we could go into details from now on, but here's what our service is learned in Him. Now, what did He know? He knew that He was here to do the will of His Father, and He knew what that will was. And He did it. He did it. Now, I can't write scriptures. I can't cast out demons. I can't walk on water. I can't take a few fishes and loaves and feed the multitude. I couldn't feed this congregation. But I do know the will of God concerning me. Huh? I know the will of God concerning me. I know why we're left on this earth. He said to His disciples before He left, He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now you go preach. That's why we're here. We're involved in the calling out of God's elect. We're fellow laborers. That's what Paul said, with God. Fellow laborers with Him. We've been left here in charge with the stewardship of preaching. Preaching the gospel. That's why we're here. And we're also, we have a stewardship of the grace of God, and we must strive to walk in such a way as not to bring shame and reproach upon our God in our lives. We have a stewardship of the grace of God which was given to us. That's why we're here. And knowing this to be the will of God, we're to do all that we can possibly do to achieve that end. Isn't that what it's all about? Well, I can't do these great things. You're not called on to do great things. We're called on to do what we can. Do we do what we can? Huh? Well, that's what we strive to do. That's why I use that word strive. And none of us does what we can. This is our reasonable service. And we do all these things reasoning of the grace and mercy and love of God toward us. And then what about our family? Am I to ignore my family? I don't believe that's taught in the scripture, to ignore your family. I don't believe it teaches us to ignore our family. I think we're obligated both by parentage and by our gratitude toward Christ for the grace of God that He's shown us to see to it that our children hear the gospel and that they're instructed in the gospel. That's our charge. Bring a child up in the way it should go. Teach it the way. See to it they hear the gospel. They're not going to like it. I don't know any children that sit at home and say, it's Sunday, I'm ready to go. No. Oh, I think I'm sick. All of a sudden, it comes up about 9 o'clock. I can't hardly walk. I've been there, done that. I know exactly how a child feels. But it's your obligation to bring them. And not just bring them over here and then go back home, go back to your business. Teach them. Teach them. Teach them by example. Huh? Teach them by example. Do we believe that we really need to assemble together and hear the gospel? Huh? Do you teach your children that? Then do it. Set the example for them. Teach them by example and teach them from the Word of God. And again, I tell you, this is best learned in Christ. Husbands and wives have an obligation to one another to love and to give themselves to one another. We learn that in Christ. And what of our brotherly and sisterly duties spiritually? We're to love one another. Isn't that what He just over and over and over He tells us, to love one another? Watch for one another's needs. Keep your finger on the pulse of your brothers and sisters. Do they have a need? Are they hurting? Then try to take care of it. Try to see to it. You know, in the early church, when the Spirit of God was poured out in such abundance on the early church, they sold their homes. They sold everything they had and brought it into the church. Said, here it is. You divide it up. You put it where you see the need more than we do. Here it is. you divide it up. Huh? Boy, I ain't seen that in this, and I haven't read about it either in 2,000 years. But what an example they left. Listen to the Apostle John. He said, if we walk in the light as Christ is the light, and if we walk in that, walk in the light of our families, our fellowship, the church, our baptism, the ordinances, all of these things. If we walk in the light as He is the light, seeing His connection to it, seeing with His light, we will have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now listen to my text, 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the form, the pattern of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Hold them fast. Now, I have a twofold goal as I preach to you and over the internet, and that is to teach and preach sound words. Sound wisdom, sound words. I want you to know and understand the grace of God. I want you to understand that salvation is in Christ. Redemption is in Christ. Sanctification is in Christ. Wisdom is in Christ. And I do my best to present that to you when I stand up here to preach to you. I don't worry so much about the order of the words. I write them down because my mind's so wandering. My memory's so bad I can't even remember what I studied. So I write it down. But when I present it to you, it's not my presentation. I want the material there. I want the foundation there. And I study hard for that and ask God to bless it when I bring it to you. I want to preach sound words, sound doctrine. Doctrine true to the Scriptures and true to my own experience of grace and true to the principles of faith set forth in the early church demonstrated. I look at in them, I look at their lives, and I look at their records, and I look at their writings, and I see these things established. And those who are taught of God by God's pastors are according to 2 Corinthians 3:3. I want you to listen to this. They're manifestly declared to be the letters or writings or epistles of Christ, ministered by chosen men such as Paul and Timothy and so on. Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, and not on tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. A man taught of God is not just a man who can recite doctrine. You can teach a Polly Parrot how to recite doctrine. We used to have minor birds in the little town I was in up north. They had a minor bird up there, and he got loose, and he'd fly around town, and he looked just like a crow. And that thing came out and lit on the truck, and I thought it was a crow, but I was amazed it didn't fly off. And I walked up there where it was, looked up, and this thing started talking. This old bird. And he took up residence on top of my dad's old 51 Ford truck, and he'd ride around town sitting up on that tire up on the roof of that old truck. A minor bird. And he's just talk up a storm. You can teach a bird how to talk. You can teach anybody how to talk. You can teach anybody how to recite doctrine. But that's not what this is about. These sound words, this sound doctrine that Paul's talking about, he's talking about something taught of God. Taught of God. What God teaches, He reveals in you, John. Not just to you. It's revealed to you, but it's revealed in you. Paul said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, then I went and preached. That's what's called for. That's where those sound words come from, is what's revealed in you. Do you have grace in you? Have you got mercy in you? Then you won't have no problem being gracious and merciful. Sound words. This is what confirms the calling of true pastors and teachers. And Paul goes on in 2 Corinthians 4 to say that he had renounced those hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully. He wasn't out there with his broad phylacteries and things on anymore, going out there with all of his confirmations from the priesthood and all that type of thing, bearing down on the people that he was somebody. He didn't do that anymore. He renounced all those things. But by manifestation of the truth, he said, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He left it all up to God. It's between God and you. You figure it out. Am I sin of God? I'm not going to stand up here and start rolling out all my credentials to you. I leave it between you and God. That's what Paul said. You figure, you listen to what I have to say and then you take it up with God. You take it up with Him. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, Paul said. Faith cometh by hearing. And I tell you this, there's nothing more exciting to the soul of a needy man than to hear the message sent from God to his soul. Nothing. Nothing can cheer him up. Nothing can comfort him. Nothing can bring the love of God to him like that message that he longs for, he's empty, and cries out for, and God gives it to him. When he does, the tears just fly. When he does, he just shakes all over. When he does, his heart is filled before God. Faith cometh by hearing. Oh, I tell you, to have the love of God made known to you, to have the blood of Christ applied to that guilty conscience, applying it to it, guilt's gone. Guilt's gone. Oh, that guilt that weighed you down to hell, it's gone under the blood. You can't do that. God has to do that. And to have the mercy of God shown to me, pressed upon my heart, I feel it down to my toes. Huh? Oh, I tell you, when he does that, then your soul sing with old Isaiah, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings and publisheth peace. Huh? This is how these sound words of the gospel are received and how the children of God are taught. Brother Todd Nybert wrote this. He's a pastor up in Lexington, Kentucky. I read this in an article of his recently. He said, the only way I can hear the gospel is as poor and needy. That's how I have to hear it. 10 times David, the man after God's own heart, described himself as poor and needy. When that leaves, can you hear me? When I'm no longer poor and needy, when that leaves, then I begin to analyze. I sit back there and pick. I pick. Your wife picks this big old dessert up and you eat it and you're hungry and it's good. And next time you sit down to eat it, you ain't quite as hungry. And you say, man, I could have stood a little bit more sugar. Huh? You could have put a little bit more lemon in that, make that a little more tart. Huh? When a man's not poor and needy, he begins to analyze. He begins to pick. He starts to pick. Oh. Begin to critique. Teaching and preaching are heart works. And those who have no heart for it receive no benefit. That's just the truth. Hungry souls benefit. They benefit. Everything, now I want you to hear me, everything in God's new covenant, He writes on the heart. Isn't that what that says over in Hebrews chapter 10? The Holy Spirit Himself also witnessed to these things. He writes these things on our hearts. Everything in the new covenant's written on the heart. Oh, what a miracle of grace it is to hear and to know that what you hear is of God. That's a miracle of grace. A miracle of grace. How sweet is this experience of grace that makes what we're taught to perfectly suit our needs. Huh? Perfectly suit your needs. I need a righteousness. Oh, I preach on Christ's righteousness and you just drink it up. Suit your need, don't it? Down to a T. And that man who's been taught doctrine in his head, he can be persuaded to change his mind. But that man who knows him in his heart cannot be moved. David said, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. There ain't no moving his heart. No moving. And this is my goal, not just to indoctrinate you in a creed, but to see Christ formed in you. That's what Paul said. He wanted to see Christ formed in them. That's what he talked about when he wrote to them. You read through those epistles that he wrote to the churches. Oh, he said, when I listen to this here in our text, he said, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears. Mindful of Timothy's tears. Somebody told him. Somebody told him. And he goes on and he tells him he's mindful. He's told the Thessalonians, I know your election of God. You become examples to all those who believe. I have you as an example of patience that waiting for his return and so on. And having taught these things by the grace of God's Holy Spirit, I want to see you holding fast. How precious are the things we know in our hearts? Huh? I mean what you know down here. What you know. Huh? You ain't gonna turn it loose, are you? Huh? We're not of them that draw back, but unto them which believe to the saving of the soul. We don't turn them loose. They're precious things. Precious things. Can you leave the fellowship of the saints? Can you do that? Can you just bow up and walk out the door and not come back? Can you do that? Can you leave the worship of God? Just say, well, I don't think I'm going to go to worship anymore. Huh? Take about 6 months, I'll go somewhere. Can you leave the hearing of the gospel? Can you find as much pleasure in the woods as you do in the church? Can you find as much benefit from being with your friends as you do with being with your brothers and sisters in Christ? No, you can't. These things are precious to the believer. They're precious. He knows these things. They're sound things. He don't turn these things loose. You can't force them loose from him. These things are not optional to those who've been taught of God. They're things they cherish and hold fast and suffer for. And that's what Paul said. I'm down here in prison suffering for these things. These things are real to me. I cherish these things. I'll die for these things. Huh? And then listen to this. We're to hold these things fast in faith and love. I've been doing my best here lately to make you see that faith is a present, active, and continual work of God in the heart. It's a living, vital principle of the heart. I don't know how to teach that. That's something God and the Holy Spirit has to teach. But faith lives. It's got a heartbeat. Got a heartbeat. It's got a pulse. It breathes in the spiritual air of his new environment. Faith is likened to the new man. He just over and over, Paul calls it a new man. Another whole person living in me took up residence. Another man. A new man. And it feeds and it drinks and it walks and thinks and looks and hears and serves in the kingdom of God. And he tells us in the scriptures to put off concerning the old man. All those old habits and old ideas and old principles and old doctrines and old tradition. Put off that old man. Take him off. Put him off. And be renewed in the spirit of my mind and put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Am I talking to you this morning in an unknown tongue? Or do you know these things? Huh? Is my language just foreign altogether to you, or do you know these things in your heart? I don't want to just preach to your head. I want to preach to your heart. What goes in the head can be changed. What goes in the heart's fixed. It's fixed. Does your faith rest in some old experience, or does it have a pulse? Did you pay something settled long ago, or is it something you know right now today? Isn't that what Paul said? Don't you know? He said, don't you know? You don't know if you reckon Lazarus knew if he was alive or not when God called him out of the tomb? I think he knew. Sure he did. Sound words can only be held fast as they're understood, received, and believed. He said you hold them fast in faith. And then watch this. And love. Wherever you find faith, you find love inseparably connected to it. Everything faith receives of God creates love in the heart. That's where it's headed. That's where it's headed. If there's love in a marriage, there'd be no obstacle too great to overcome it, no crisis too difficult to bear, and no service too great to render if there's love. Is not love as it is in the order of the law, the same in order in the kingdom of grace? Number one, wasn't it? Number one. It's always been number one. First and foremost, sound words are held fast in faith and love because all sound doctrine generates true love. If it don't generate love, there's a problem. There's a problem. And if God has revealed his love for such a one as me, will I have difficulty loving you? I don't think so. I've never got over the fact, John. God loved me. Huh? Have you ever got over that? If God passed by 1,000 better than me to choose me, save me, and show me mercy, is love going to be a hard thing for me to do? No. No. True faith and true love are inseparable. Paul said, we can speak with the tongue of men and angels, but if I have not love, I'm sounding breath. I'm on cymbals. They're beating on the cymbals. Sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. Don't matter how many mysteries I can solve or knowledge I gain, without love, he said, I'm nothing. No matter how much I give, even to the giving of myself to be burned in martyrdom, without love, it'll profit me nothing. Love beareth all things. I just can't bear it. You could if you had love. Love beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. And endureth all things. Love never faileth. That's what he said. May God be pleased through me to teach you sound words, sound doctrine, and do for you and do in you what I could never do. And that is to press those things upon your hearts and minds forever. And we'll give him the glory and the praise for Christ's sake. Amen. Thank you.